Welcome to the Sin Chocolate Show, a podcast to create conversations with women across our nation who work in girls' ministry. The Sin Chocolate Show is an outreach of PedestrianGod.com. Today, we speak with Colleen Smith, the founder and director of GYM East Baltimore at Captivate Christian Church in Baltimore, Maryland. We're talking with Colleen Smith today. Colleen, tell us a little bit about yourself and your church.
So I live in Baltimore, Maryland. I work for a Southern Baptist church plant called Captivate Church. We have three campuses, and I live actually intentionally and work on our inner city campus in East Baltimore. And I run a program called GEM, which stands for Gospel Education and Mentoring. And we work with students, all ages, kindergarten, actually pre-K through 12th grade. And I've actually had several students that have graduated and kind of just stuck there with us and are still hanging out as college students. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
About how many, I guess, kids in general do you have?
Yeah. So we have 50 kids that are registered in our program. And then on a typical Wednesday night, which is when we meet, we have 25 that come pretty regularly. But my home is like the community center in the neighborhood. So at any given time, there is at least one student, but probably more hanging out here.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, we were bonding about this a little bit before we started recording, but my husband and I just returned from a trip to Maryland. Turns out we ate, what you say, about 2 miles from your house.
Yeah.
Little hole in the wall place called Chaps that had good barbecue. We are, I don't know if you know this about West Tennesseans, but we are snobs when it comes to barbecue.
I have heard. I actually had a few mission teams from Tennessee this year, and all of them went to Chaps, and they all agreed that it was good.
Okay, good. See, we're on the same line then.
It's
tough, though, because we don't have Shake Shacks. And so it was really hard for us. We might have made an emergency trip to Shake Shack, twice.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Shake Shack.
I think it's some of it's just that we don't have it.
Yeah, try all those places you don't have.
So tell me, I was telling you, I felt like I had come out of the really fancy part of Baltimore. I was down on the, do you call it the harbor?
Yeah.
Beautiful. We rode the water taxis all around. And then we decided to go to Chaps. So we went across the toll bridge. And we kind of felt like we were in a kind of scary area. So tell us a little bit about, I don't know, just the economics even of where you are.
Yeah. So I, a couple of years ago, if you had asked me, I would have told you that McElderly Park, which is where I live, was the murder capital of our city. It has gotten significantly better over the past few years. And that is, there's a lot of things happening in the community that are positive and a lot of people moving in that want to see positive changes. But to say all that, it's still a very vulnerable neighborhood, very impoverished, lots of drugs, lots of crime, lots of hope though. And I think that's the joy that I get, is that I see hope here that other people don't see. And so I can walk out my front door and see beauty that probably someone coming in would be like, why do you choose to live here? This is horrible. But for me, this is my home and this is the neighborhood that I've chosen. Well, actually, God's chosen to plant me in. And I see beauty in the brokenness here. Mm. Yeah.
So how long have you been in this position?
So I actually did some work in West Baltimore for about 5 years part-time before I made the move to East Baltimore almost 8 years ago into full-time ministry. And at that point, I had just decided that the ministry I was doing in West Baltimore was great, but I really, truly had a desire to be more intentional and to not just, because I'm sure you can imagine that my neighborhood is mostly African-American and I'm white. And I didn't want to just be this white girl coming into a neighborhood every day and people thinking that I just wanted to be this white savior, for lack of a better term. Like, I really wanted to be intentional. So when there's a murder in the neighborhood, or one of my kids gets hurt, or there's a whatever kind of issue may be happening, like, they wouldn't have to call me. Like, I would just be here. And we've had situations where at, whatever time of day or night someone knocks on my door and an uncle's been killed or a brother's been murdered or whatever, and I can just be there. Like, it's very intentional.
Are you from Maryland originally?
I am actually from Kansas.
Okay. So, how did you get from Kansas to Baltimore?
So actually, this is all part of my salvation story. So if you don't mind, I'll skip down there.
Go for it.
So I grew up in a home very similar to the home that my kids grow up in. So single parent, dad in and out of jail, mom not around, drugs, alcohol, abuse of every capacity. And as I got older, I realized very quickly that if I stayed in my environment or where I was, like, I wasn't going to go very far in life. And so I woke up one morning, I was living at school, and I woke up one morning and was like, something in my life has to change. At that point in my life, I was not a Christian. And I hadn't ever had a relationship with Christ, and really truly had no desire, because as I was growing up, I kept hearing, like, God is so great and God is so good, but I couldn't really wrap my brain around how can God be so great if all of these horrible things are happening in my life. And so at 21 years old, I packed a suitcase and I had a plan, and I moved to Maryland to become a nanny. And I literally was going to stay here for 1 year, and I was going to, I guess in my mind, my life was going to be perfect, and then I was going to go back home to Kansas. Well, God had a different plan. And I actually became a nanny for a Jewish family, and they said to me, you need to have faith, but we don't really like people to convert into our faith, and so we're going to help connect you to a church. And so they did, and it wasn't a church that I felt comfortable at, but God, I feel like God strategically placed a youth pastor in my neighborhood. And he kind of introduced me to the youth group, which I would get super offended, because I'm thinking in my head, I'm 21, I can handle going to big church, but he wanted me to be connected to the college students who were serving. And so I began to go to youth group, and he invited me on the youth retreat, and I'm like, I don't think you know how I live my life. And I was like, I don't think you want me leading your youth on a youth retreat. And he's like, no, I really think you need to come. So at 22 years old, on a youth retreat, I accepted Christ. And I wish I could say that it was rainbows and butterflies and everything was perfect, but there were many years of having to really figure out who God was in my life. So,
That's
yeah.
amazing. Let me ask you a really unimportant question at this point. Did you know the people you were nannying?
No, I actually had never met them. We did have a lengthy phone interview, but at that point, like, Skype and FaceTime, they weren't really, like, all the rage. And so we had never even seen each other other than exchanging a picture through email. And so as my plane is landing in Baltimore, I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing? I'm getting off an airplane to go live with a family that I don't even know. But it was wonderful, and I'm still in touch with them, and I've got to watch their kids grow up and go to their weddings, and it's just been so good.
Now that's a God thing right there. What are the chances that he would bring you that far across the country? That is amazing.
And honestly, I've been here for 18 years. I don't think Kansas is home anymore. So
That's awesome. Well, we'll stay a little bit lighthearted here before we keep going into your ministry. So, when you need a laugh, what are some of your go-to YouTube videos?
That is funny. I was discussing this yesterday. I had a mission team here, and we were talking, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna record this podcast tomorrow. One of the questions is, what's your go-to YouTube video? And I was like, but I don't really watch YouTube. So the only thing that I watch on YouTube is the Bucket List Family. I don't know if you're familiar with them,
No.
but it's this family that just sold all their belongings and travel all over the world. And they're just really fun and lighthearted and like just share their whole life with you. So that would be probably the only thing I watch on YouTube.
That's fair enough. That sounds pretty good. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
So, how about while you've been teaching or leading? Do you have a good embarrassing moment that you'd share with us?
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I have an embarrassing moment, but I do think that as I've gotten to know the kids and I've gotten to allow them into my home and into my life in such an intimate manner, because my ministry is a little different, I think that it's not so embarrassing, but just that we've gotten comfortable with each other. And so I don't know that I have one moment, but I will say that we do have a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, lighthearted. And I work with boys and girls, and some of my girls are like tomboys, so they'll belch and make potty jokes, and I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
All right, well, I will share my embarrassing Maryland story with you.
All right.
Okay, so in Maryland, we also went to DC. I have some separate DC embarrassing stories that I'll leave for another day. I'll stick with just my embarrassing Maryland story. So we decided it would be a great idea to spend the day at Ocean City, by which I mean my husband planned it, and it was a great idea. I had a great time at the city. It sounded like I was being really sarcastic. It was a great time. Best boardwalk by far. So well done. Spent the whole
Yes.
day eating popcorn and taffy and pizza, and we
And
sat
I hope you have some Thrasher's fries.
on. Okay, no. It was on the list, and I forget what happened. I think I got it. I just really wanted some popcorn. There's whoever that, there's a famous popcorn place, like right next to the famous French fry place.
Fisher's popcorn.
Yes, it. There was too much. There was way too much. Anywho, so we spend the day on the beach, have a great time, and we decide because we are not seafood people. Okay, we are good West Tennesseans. We eat barbecue, maybe possibly fried catfish. We don't do seafood here, and so we decide it would just be horrible if we left Maryland without having crab, right? That's what everyone does. So in my mind, they're gonna come out as jumbo crab legs. That is the only experience I have with crab where I have to pull it out of it. And so we go to, oh, I really should have practiced this before you came. We went to, again, another really famous crab place in Ocean City. And so we have no idea how to order them. No idea. 5.5 inches. We're like, yeah, that sounds great. Awesome. I'm a little confused why there's brown paper on my table. Just in general, I'm very confused. And so they know, they can tell, they can sense that we are foreigners. And so they bring like I hesitate to say chef because, like cut off sleeve t-shirt and cook. Comes out and it says, I feel like you guys might need a lesson on how to open these. And he pulls out like what looks like a frisbee with a crab on top of it. And I am in this instant panic because I'm like, that's a crab. Like, those aren't just crab legs. Like, that's a whole crab. And it might be one of the grossest things I've ever done. Like,
And he brought you a hammer and the little cracker thing.
yes, and the little cracker thing. And then he kept telling me that I should really lick the mustard. And I just kept telling him I appreciated him calling the innards mustard, but I know it's not. So it was an experience.
So what did you think of it? Did you like it once you got to the meat? Because it takes a lot of effort to get that little bit of meat.
It's a lot of effort. When I had to do the part where I ripped the back piece off, I had to start like putting a napkin in my hand and facing it away from me because he gave me such a long speech about don't eat the lungs that I got really paranoid about the lungs. I don't know what would happen to me if I ate them, but
You
everyone.
can always tell a true Marylander from someone who's never picked crabs before.
Oh yeah, no, it was real evident. We also ordered corn nuggets. And so every once in a while, I was like, can I have a corn nugget? There's no cracking. The crab meat was fine. You have to kind of come around to the crab taste.
Yeah.
It was fine. We were still really hungry afterwards. And I might have gotten a McDonald's, shake on the way
Fair enough.
Have you come around? Are you a big Maryland crab?
I'm actually not because one, I grew up in landlocked Kansas, so we
Yeah.
didn't have great seafood. And so I've never really been a seafood person. And then picking crabs is really not like a thing you do for a good meal. It's a thing you do for social, like a
Yes.
social activity.
Yes.
And I don't hate it, but I'm not the first person in line to pick crabs.
Yeah. Part of my problem halfway through was I was feeling really confident and I picked up a crab and made it talk to my husband and like was pinching at him and then it just became like a thing again. And I felt really bad. I couldn't open that one. I had to get a different one because I gave him a name and everything.
Aww.
So that's my Maryland story for you.
That's awesome.
So we'll get back on track now. This rabbit trail brought to you by Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, so we named the podcast Send Chocolate. Because at the end of a long day, sometimes you just want to de-stress. What is your preferred de-stressing food?
Oh man, popcorn.
Yeah.
I love popcorn with peanut butter M&Ms in
What's your favorite popcorn?
So I really, my friend has got me addicted to this kettle corn that she bought on QVC, which who buys microwave popcorn on QVC? I don't know. So I really love that, but I also just really love a good bag of movie theater butter. Microwave popcorn,
Okay.
which I know is really bad for you, but sometimes you just gotta have
I
it.
bought one of the Whirly Pops where you.
Yes, I have one of those too, and I love
I
it.
love the Whirly Pop, but if I go microwave, I do Orville Redenbacher Tender White.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
You have to do the Tender White, and it's not butch, so I don't really love buttery, but it's more salty. But I have to go to a different store. Like Walmart stopped selling it, so I have to go to Kroger, which you don't have Kroger.
No.
You, funnily enough, have a co-owner of Kroger open their own competing store. Because what is your main food grocery chain?
Giant. Giants
What's the
or
other one?
Harris Teeter or Safeway or Wegmans or Weis, I think are the five big
It might have
ones.
been a Safeway because we went in and it's identical to Kroger. So
I
we looked up
probably
to see if
is.
it was a sister company and it turned out it had like a really funny story to it. So, all right, enough of Baltimore. We'll go a little deeper here and we already went over your salvation story. So let's bring us up to date in the last, I don't know, 6 months, year, whatever time period you'd like to pick. What are some things that God's been teaching you?
So I am, I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram. But the Enneagram is a great personality test. It tells you like your personality and how you work well with all the other Enneagram personalities. And so on the Enneagram, it's 1 through 9, and I'm a 2, which is like the heart. And so I'm a super loving person. But when I get stressed out, I go to an 8, which is a super powerful person. And it's a non-resourceful, super powerful person. So I say all this to say that I really love to be in control. Like, and I have learned specifically in the last 6 months to a year that God doesn't want me to be in control and I just need to let go of things. And so I am learning how to be, I call it a reformed control freak, where I can just step back and like realize that other people have gifts and they can do things that I can also do. And sometimes they do them better than me. And it's okay. Like, that doesn't make me not good enough or not whatever, which has been an extremely valuable lesson for me to learn and then like teach to my girls. So, yeah.
That's really cool. So thinking about some of, let's talk about, I don't know, maybe teenage girls in particular, or you tell me who you want to talk about. Like, what are some of the top issues that they're facing?
I living in an inner city and in a vulnerable neighborhood, you immediately think like teen pregnancy and sex and drugs and all of those things. And those are big problems. I mean, they really are. But I also have to take a step back sometimes and remember that my teenagers and my girls, they're still girls. They still struggle with their worth and their value. And am I pretty enough? And am I skinny enough? And this year we've had to deal with suicide. And we've had to sit down with some of our girls who are younger and help them walk through like your worth doesn't come from what that boy on the street thinks of you. And so it's just been, I think there are some different challenges when you're in an urban ministry, but really they're all just teenagers. They all struggle through the same things. And so if I had to pick three, I would say that it is like the value and the self-worth and being enough and who God made you. And then we're really just dealing with suicide head on this year. And like mental illness has also been another huge one, which I feel like that's across the board with all my friends that are in youth ministry.
Do you get much support from their parents?
That's funny because someone asked me the same question last night, and I do have with some of my parents really good relationships of where I feel like I can call them and I can say XYZ, like we're having this issue and can we work together? And then there are other parents who are completely not in the picture, or they've just checked out, or there's an addiction problem, or they're in jail and not even available. And so there's a lot of like, and I think too, the big difference in like urban ministry and suburban ministry is you have to tread very lightly, and I feel like build a relationship of trust that you might not have to build if you're in a suburban church and the entire family comes to church. And the other thing is, we don't actually, at the campus that I live and work at, we don't have a Sunday morning service right now. So their parents don't have a place to come and worship where we are working with their kids. Like right now, it's just Wednesday nights, your kids come to gym, and that's kind of their church. And you're always welcome to come. But a lot of them, to be honest with you, this is like, I hate to say this, but for lack of a better term, for some of them, it's a babysitting service. So they'll send their kids to us for 1 or 2 hours a night, and we get to love them and disciple them and reach them, but we don't really get to build a relationship with their parents. And so something that we have done that has been extremely fruitful and has allowed me to build relationships with my kids' families is that we do bedroom makeovers for our students in the summer, where we'll bring a team in and we will spend an entire week in their home. And that's twofold. One, we get to create a safe space for them in their home, and they get to dream big and help design their room. But also, we're getting one-on-one time with their parents or their guardian or whoever, and getting to know their family's needs and building a trust that they might not had if I said, "Can I come and hang out in your house for a whole week?"
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
What are some ways that you use social media and technology in your relationships?
That has been a tricky one. I love social media and I see value in social media, and I follow all of my kids on social media. And I would say that we don't necessarily use social media to communicate with a lot of them because they don't have it. But the ones that do have it, I use it mainly to check up on them and call them out when I see them posting inappropriate things, or maybe it's been a really great conversation starter of like, well, why did you choose to post that? Because what you say about who you are or who you're becoming or who you want to become isn't reflective in what you're posting on social media. And so we've kind of used social media as a jumping ground for lessons and for teaching moments.
I like that. Let's jump over to some resources. So, what are some books or Bible studies that you would recommend for young women?
Yeah, so we really love the Every Young Woman's Battle book, which I've walked through with a lot of my teenage girls, even as young as like preteen, like sixth grade. I find so much value in that book. And then there is another book that I've just ordered a couple of copies to start using with my older teenage girls. It's called Girls with Swords by Lisa Bevere, and it's just a really great book, and it is geared towards the older girls, but I love it. And then I also just will randomly go online and Google, I love Psalm 139, and so I try to find a lot of Bible studies around that psalm for the girls, specifically to talk about value and how God created you and He knew how you were going to be before you were even born, and really like pushing into their heart like you're fearfully and wonderfully made and you're good enough. And so I re yeah, and then we use oh my goodness, preteen. I think it's preteenministry.net. And it's just a really great resource. And they have affordable curriculum that we found we can use across the board for our middle school and even our high school girls.
Do you have anything separate from that list for leaders that you really like?
I don't. I feel bad for saying this, but I will be honest and say that one thing, I think I do a really good job of loving my volunteers and my leaders, but I haven't done a great job as a leader of doing a lot of professional development things or a lot of like we go on a retreat, but it's really more of like let's get away from like our day-to-day like serving and just enjoy each other. But part of my over the next year, part of a conviction on my heart is I really want to help my leaders grow as leaders. And so I'm planning actually to do a little research on that. So
There you go. All right. Well, before I get into the final question, do you have any other thoughts or comments, anything you want to share?
No, I just think that there's so much value in teen girl ministry, and I think that my own personal story has been a great. I think the first time I ever shared my personal story out loud was in a group of teenage girls, and it allowed me so much teaching, like a cliff basically to jump off for teaching moments. And so if I could use this to encourage other women who are teaching teen girls, like don't shy away from sharing your story, because part of what I have learned in my own story is that there is so much freedom and grace and redemption and victory that God gives us. But also like the students that you work with, they need to see that you're real and that you're human and that you also have a story and maybe not a crazy past like I do that I've been able to share with them, but there is value in what God has done in your life. And I think your girls need to hear that.
I like that. I like that encouragement. Well, I'll pose the final question, which is really just meant to be kind of funny. It's modesty, it's fashion, it's the trend of the day. Can or should leggings be worn as pants?
This is a funny question because I have this argument with my girls all the time, and I'm like, leggings are not to be worn with t-shirts. They are to be worn under long tunics, long sweaters, and dresses. So no, leggings cannot be worn as pants, and nor should they be worn as
Had
pants.
to do a double take at Walmart yesterday. This girl walked in with a very tight, short t-shirt and leggings the color of her flesh.
Oh, goodness.
And I, like, five of us just stopped, and you could just see our heads, like, as she walked by, we were just following her. And I was like, I can't look away. Is she
And if
wearing
they're gonna in a yeah, if they're gonna make leggings, why would they make them that color?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I think she got every last bit of attention that she was wanting in that. So, all right, Colleen. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share with us. It was so nice to talk to you. If anybody would like to find out more about Colleen Smith or Captivate Christian Church or her gym ministries, you can find her in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks so much, Colleen.
Thanks, bye, Renee.
Bye.